Good evening. It's Tuesday night, October 12th.
Lord, you're good. We ask that that goodness would flow in our meeting tonight, that we would have access to your truth, O Lord. Your truth would be lit up for us, that we would know that truth. And Lord, that truth would set us free, make us free, whatever. Do that good work. You're anointing on us tonight by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It is kind of a strange thing that a lot of the things that you see in the Scriptures are common sense. You know, they're
sometimes
common sense, and even though we know that it's spiritual, God made us to see things right. I mean, we can be warped and twisted in our thinking and not do it right, but the Scripture says that no man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that's in him. And the same thing, then, no man know the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so, which is giving us a basis for God giving us the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus saying that when he comes, he will guide us into all truth. Or at least the potential for all truth, even though we might not get all truth. And what the Bible says is the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. We're not talking about a spirit of the letter. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And that took me a long time before I began to realize that if the Spirit doesn't reveal it to you, you don't get it. Sometimes even when he does try to reveal it to you, you still don't get it. I'll throw something in where, you know, we start talking about that letter, you know, and I wanted a copy of it, and one of the reasons I wanted to give a copy to Clayton is because Clayton, maybe we'll talk about that after the thing, but I know what I want to say about it. Sometimes we kind of know each other, and Clayton knows me, and this gave him a real difficulty on some conversation. And I'll talk about that. You know, the older you get, a lot of times, the harder it is really to do the things for God that you want to do. And it's very difficult for me. And I really don't appreciate saying that in a wheelchair like being in a jail cell. But at the same time, when you're 85 years old, you don't have that much money to worry about it anymore. It's a good point, a good thing about it. So, and we're this is getting off the thing too, but we're getting rid of a lot of wood. God has a good agenda.
His schedule can be a little funny, but
yeah.
tend to think God's schedule is perfect.
Well, it certainly, I'm sure it is. I suppose I'm thinking from the, speaking in the matter of man.
I don't understand it, but I'm sure it's perfect.
Looking from our angle, it's funny.
I totally agree.
I was going to say, if you stop and think about it, that little comment you made at the end about the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals it, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I knew what you were kind of saying, but actually in truthfulness.
You know, some of those nudges can be pretty slight, though. You know, and we can, if we don't have a heart that's open to it, he'll let us slide.
Yeah, that's leaving all, I'm saying, my comments on if your heart's
right,
and you're seeking, and when the Holy Spirit reveals something, it gets revealed.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, it's kind of the question, like, okay, he's revealed it to me. How long does it take before I recognize it? Sometimes you recognize it right away, and then sometimes it's you heard something, and then, you know, about a week later, it starts to come into focus. Keith has often said something like, I'm getting a glimmer of something, and it's out there, but he just can't quite get around it.
Yeah, so looking at it, well, then he hasn't completely revealed it yet.
Yeah, you could say it that way.
But when it comes, it comes.
You know, the woman at the well is the model for me. She just kind of kept pestering Jesus. And he kept saying more and more and more, so that by the end she got him to say that he was the Messiah. Well, he didn't say he was the Messiah to very many people, but he said it to her. She just kept pestering. You know, come on, tell me.
If you keep seeking,
right,
you don't give it.
Right. Yeah. More and more and more. She, and I think probably that would be happening with us too if we were to. Come on, give me some more here. Okay, I got that. Give me more than that.
I think that's where he wants us.
Yes, he does.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. Jesus certainly.
That's what's the love for the truth is. You keep.
I think it is.
You keep seeking.
And that he wants us to love him. I mean, it really fit. And it comes back to, what are we going to do in this relationship? I mean, we know we can't make the Spirit happen, but we can earnestly seek it.
Yeah, that's right. Like him. Yeah.
I mean, run that race.
Jesus lost his appetite for food. You know, he must have been hungry. They went into town to go get him some food. They came back with food, and he said, I got food that you know not of, you know, and he just didn't want to eat whatever it was that they were bringing him.
He was all
buzzed up from that encounter he had had with her, you know. He was.
My meat is to do the will of the Father.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not so sure that maybe he was fed through it. You know, if he could feed the 5,000 with whatever it was.
Well, if he kept him 40 days in the desert without eating.
He was hungry at the end of it, but yeah.
God can make it happen, you know.
Yeah.
And food's kind of an interesting one because there are more than one or two miracles about how there all of a sudden there's this abundance of food where there shouldn't have been any. There's these situations where he doesn't eat at all or says, I don't need food. And then he says things like, you know, they've been out here with me for 2 days listening, so we should be sensitive to their needs for food. It's just, it runs the whole gambit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't worry about it. God will bless it. Oh, well, we should worry about it. They've been, you know, it's been a long time. And don't worry about me.
Then he was hungry after he got resurrected, so go figure.
It almost be blasphemous. There's a joke there, but I'll let it go.
Does it say that somewhere in there it says that he was hungry?
Well, no.
Well, he fed him. That I think he might have said he was hungry.
Well, like he said, he had something to eat, didn't he?
I think he did. Yeah. Then they fed him body comb and whatever.
Wasn't he also like they first saw him, you know, cooking fish?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
coming down.
That was like the first time they saw him after the resurrection.
Right.
He was cooking fish. No.
Right.
Maybe that was just to light a light and attract them. I don't know, but they came. I think when they came to him, they ate fish.
Yeah, he said, "Come and dine."
Yeah.
Then I don't know what they did with 153 fish, the big 153 big fish.
The big haul, yeah.
Right.
About a month ago, I think I was vacuuming, cleaning that day or something, but I got that into my head. Come and dine, the master's calling. I was singing it all day long.
Well, if you're going to have an earworm, that's a good
one.
Yeah.
It's about the right pitch for that vacuum diner, too.
you don't suppose that in heaven a lutefisk might be a delicacy?
You can only hope, eh, Charles?
That's right.
Where were we when we ran off the rails?
I don't know, I think heaven would smell better than that.
What's that argument that you hear someone say that if I properly understand the definition of heaven, that can't be. fill in the blank. If I understand, if heaven is perfect, then I don't know how this can be there.
Yeah.
So,
maybe our, along with everything else, our taste buds will be glorified too.
That song "Imagine" really gets to me, because on one hand, you think you would just be overcome with joy, and you'd want to dance before the Lord like David. I mean, you would say, this is good, this is right, this is... And on the other hand, you go, you'd be, just be in awe, you'd be dumbfounded and just staring, you know. And I could see both. I could see maybe there's an awe, and then the full recognition of what is the situation is and the dancing for joy, but I mean it, you know, like
yeah.
I just don't know yet where I've landed or where I'm at as far as how much we retain and don't retain, and
we'll probably have time for both.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talk about, you know, we're going to have some form.
I think there is a place for an expression of joy, expression of, you know, by dance or whatever means, whatever. I think we had drops of heaven. You know, we've had, that's happened with singing in the spirit and dancing and so forth. I don't know.
We're kind of talking about Sunday night. Well, the Spirit has clearly visited this church on many, many times and many occasions and several different manifestations. I mean, besides, in addition to the slaying of the Spirit and the dancing of the Spirit and the tongues and interpretations that have come forth and the visions of I mean, the visions that children have had, along with adult members, I mean, you know, kids, you go, I don't know if their imagination is that vivid, you know. Was it Naomi? Was it Naomi Faye's? The vision of the front of the church, and there were 2 10-foot angels standing on each side of the pulpit.
Yeah, I think that was her.
I think it was her. And that happened before I came, but I mean, that
yeah.
that particular recanting of that vision, and then the ones that, you know, Twyla had and others, it's just like, you know, God has given us a lot of light.
Yeah. And he's visited us in these latter days. He's visited us with his word.
Which is the best visitation of any. Yeah. I have seen more than my share. You know, I've seen a lot of things. And at the same time, it still requires faith to believe. No matter what you see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But I've thought about, you know, the things that I have seen. And there were obvious visitations of the Spirit. And after all that, how could you deny God? After what Peter saw Jesus do, what would be the motivation? What would cause him to deny Christ 3 times?
Man got scared.
But he said he wasn't going to do it. He swore up and down. He said, no, no matter what anybody else does, not me. But Jesus knew that he would, but under the very conditions that he would. Well, Jesus had said, he said, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And after you get converted, strengthen your brethren. And I'm thinking, raising people from the dead, he's healing the sick. He isn't converted yet.
He needed that one last humbleness.
And so it's pretty obvious that Jesus asked him 3 times, you love me? It's almost kind of like in response to the 3 denials, you know. I don't know that, but it would seem like that would be the thing.
Well, we Christian circles, we flip out, you know, die to self. And I think Peter had a lot of faith, but he, when push came to shove, he wasn't ready to die for his faith. And I think that's the illustration that setting is, you know, I was thinking about that and then thinking about the sower, you know. And would you say that, you know, he had deep roots? I mean, would you say that Peter was fertile soil and been watered by the Lord and saw everything, and then yet, you know,
sometimes panic or something gets a hold of somebody and it brings out the very worst in them. You know,
I was going to ask, can everybody sitting here absolutely say you're going to die for the faith today?
Yeah. You know, a panic or something, you know, some deal.
I would like to think I could, but no.
Yeah. I would like to think so too, but I don't really know.
Yeah, right.
When faced with that, what will I do?
Yeah.
I pray that I would be able to.
If I have a good opportunity to get really screw up my courage and rise up in here, maybe catch me under other circumstances.
My comment hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Because God can put certain, God knows you, and he knows how he can push it the right, he'd say it, button or whatever. But sure. He knew Peter. He knew he had something there that he needed to deal with.
Yep.
For sure.
I think that's right.
To show him.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
And we don't know. I know I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he hasn't shown me all the things that...
It depends on if the Spirit is or is not on you, for one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Spirit's on you. You can do all sorts of very brave things.
Sure. Yeah.
And then Peter has this vision where he sees a sheet letting out for heaven. And then they're at this big meeting, and there's Gentiles there and Jews there, and Peter's there. And when the Jews came in, he starts hobnobbing with the Jews and ignored the Gentiles.
Right.
Until Paul had to say something to him. He says, "How is it, Peter? You being a Jew and you live like the Gentiles, and now you want the Gentiles to live like the Jews."
Yeah.
A crazy thing.
Yeah, with Peter, there was the best of times, there was worst of times.
Yeah, the man was up and down, wasn't he?
He showed the peaks in the valley.
But I think doesn't it mention James was kind of at that place too? That he had come down with those that were trying to say they wanted to incorporate some of the law back or whatever.
Or
I thought there was a reference to that.
There in Galatians, it was, you think it was Peter and James, but it may have been.
Yeah, something like
it
that.
It may have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's funny, that law, that legalism, whatever, is so strong. It is really hard to totally stamp out, you know.
Well, could you imagine Paul? You know, and it's like he studied under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Yeah.
He had done all of these things, and Jesus wouldn't leave him alone. And I believe that that's one of the most fantastic
conversions or whatever
thing that ever happened anywhere.
Yeah. Obviously, that meeting on the Damascus Road was one dynamic, impacting experience.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, first you have this conversation and you end up blind. You go, you know, I ought to pay attention. Did you find the study, Charlie? I
think it's Galatians 2.
Yes.
verses 7, 8, 9, you know. It does talk about James and Peter and John.
Yeah, 12 said, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And then... So, but it was right. And when James, Cephas, and John,
I think that Cephas is Peter.
Oh, Cephas.
Well, I think it is. I think it's.
But you were right, Ken, to mention that.
But they do talk about James and John there too.
Can't always have everything on Peter.
But I don't know. Maybe Paul's being a little tough there. Heck, you talk with the people you know.
Yeah. But I'm sure it was in the context.
I think Paul's feathers are ruffled. You know, he was supposed to minister to the Gentiles, and he didn't like the short shake that all the apostles were giving the Gentiles. You know, just, you know, being segregated with their brethren, their true brothers.
You don't see Peter in that, you know what I mean?
Well, I think he felt he was rightly...
Because they all realized that they had been in error, because then they, well, okay, all we're going to require them is they don't eat things strangled with blood, and that they don't have, sex you know, live immorally, sexually, and that's about it. Might have been something else.
Yeah, they watered down the Jewish rules or whatever a little bit.
That's the part that's a little discerning, though, is even Paul later, you know, there were certain things, though, that they still honored. He said, I'll be whatever I have to be to win.
Yes, and I think that's what was going on.
You know.
There was that time that he followed some Jewish rituals.
Yeah, he cut his hair, wasn't it? And he had to give money to pay for somebody's something.
His haircut or something? I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But do you remember, Keith, what it is that Paul did to accommodate himself with the Jews just so that he wouldn't,
It's somewhere. He was supposed to pay for this, not sanctification, something of some certain...
And then
also shaved his head.
Whatever the custom or whatever it was.
He followed the custom, yeah. There was nothing to be much gained by putting up, saying, no, I'm not going to follow your dumb custom, even though that was not.
But I've thought about that, too. It's kind of unlike Paul to just step out of his normal way and do something like that. It
would have been a good teachable moment.
Yeah.
As they say. He felt differently about it.
Yeah.
More to be gained by going along with it than to buck it.
I tell you what I've wondered about. And Paul says, the good that I would, or that I would, I do not, and the evil that I do, would not, that I do, you know. And it's like, what was it that he did? You know? He'd already killed people, what else did he do?
Well,
sounds like he had little battles, just like we, against temptation or something.
Yeah, and of course, in a sense, it makes no difference.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
We don't need to name people's sins to...
I mean, I know the evil that I would not, that I do.
Yeah.
You know, without having to enumerate it.
Well, I tell you one thing. The constant relationship with the Word of God has got to be one of them. Making Christianity the easiest, a lot easier than it ever was. Because as I started to listen, I had a lot of conviction, some condemnation, and not necessarily present difficulty, but past difficulties, you know? And after a while, it lifted because the Lord keeps you in a good place long enough. After a while, you're not. It's not an issue. Paul said, a lot of people say, I'm not afraid of God. I don't fear God. And the thing is, we better. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What's he talking about? God's love. So what does he mean? You don't fear God because you think that he's going to splash in and he's going to be splash water. I mean, you don't do it for that reason. You fear God because of the awesomeness of who he is.
And yet you don't shy away from him.
Exactly.
You know.
It says that James is, resist the devil and he'll flee.
Draw nigh to God.
Draw nigh to God.
He'll draw nigh to you. Yeah.
And I have experienced at different times, you know, I'm not even sure half of them know what, how I would label my experience. But I've experienced times when it was just an awesome, awesome presence of the Lord. And I've experienced some where it was dry. But the thing is, we have to have a relationship with the Lord through the dry or the wet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really important concept that we didn't do so well on in the past. Strive to feel good. Maybe strive to be right with God.
Yeah. Oh, I've spent spells in my life where my interest in the Lord was just a long, long, long ways away. You know? Whatever the here and now had to offer was pretty much the whole deal.
Well, here's one instance. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek.
Timothy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of references to Acts, and because Paul missed Passover, he was determined to make it for the feast. Or he missed one, and so
can't get it to
keep the holy day.
I think that's maybe what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Did you? I put Paul shaved his head, but I couldn't get anything to come up.
It might not be as. I might be totally wrong about that.
No, I'm the one that said that.
I just asked for. What did I? I'm not sure how I searched for that. I just said, you know, why did Paul keep the Jewish traditions?
Oh.
You know.
And did it come up with the one that was circumcised?
No. It was a very long answer, so I kind of scrolled through it, but it... and I didn't get that far. Paul's commitment toward the holy days can be best summed up in a quote in Acts 18:21. I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, which was, you know, the Jewish feast, and so.
Okay.
That's 18:18,
I think.
18:18? Yeah. And after that, he had shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had made a vow. Wonder what kind of vow that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did shave his head.
You know, I don't know that we have any real way of knowing, but it would seem likely. I mean, it doesn't say anything tell us anything whether any of these disciples had children. Peter had a wife, possibly had kids. But we have no way of knowing, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, does it?
No, I don't think we know anything more about it than that.
You know, he had a wife because he had a mother-in-law.
We know Paul didn't marry.
Right.
We don't know about John.
I think Peter's wife went to go live with Mama for a while.
Yeah, as they said, we've left all. What is our situation?
You kind of, I wonder, you know, if they're raw fishermen and they fish for a living, was it just for them or was it for their families? You know, it doesn't really say that, does it?
I'm betting it would have turned around and so maybe someone in the family would have sold them to whoever, but or exchanged them for something else, you know, some barter system or something.
That's a wild song in the washer shape.
Actually, there are references 1 Corinthians 9:5, and we do not have the right to take along a believing wife. Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas?
Oh, hey,
that's Cephas, huh? Oh,
that's
interesting.
That's I heard, yeah.
Yeah,
she tagged along, huh?
Well, because I snapped that off, but it said, based upon Paul's comments in 1 Corinthians 9:5, it would certainly seem logical to conclude that each of the disciples had wives and traveled with them in their ministry. Certainly, we cannot conclude that each one did have a wife as a traveling companion, but the statement certainly would cause us to conclude that many, if not most, did. If that be the case, I believe we could also conclude that the ministry was a family mission as a whole and not just a dad thing. And then use, you know, 1 Corinthians 9:5 as this proof. And there's an implication there.
I don't know if it lets us say anything more than Peter did, but whatever. In any event, the wife came along, at least as far as Paul knew.
Right. Well, it said Peter and what, the other apostles or disciples?
As do the other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas.
Who's saying that?
It's Paul. So this is 1 Corinthians 9:5. So that's, you know, and they also mention the mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law. So, but they, you know, it's kind of funny. It's very vague. It's just kind of like we've often said, you know,
yeah.
Joseph kind of like disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they wrote about him as if he got attacked by the mugger some night coming home from market and never was heard from again, the way they avoided mentioning his name.
Yeah. That comes as total news to me that the wives were along with all the with Jesus' ministry. Funny. Yeah,
King James
passed over that.
King James said it a little bit differently than the text I quoted. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So, I mean, you could read that as like, there's a challenge being made there. Hey, what do you mean? I don't have the right to do this like others do, you know.
Yeah.
And we do know Paul always very today words, but Paul always kind of carried a little chip on his shoulder as not being recognized like a true apostle like the 12. You know, I mean, he picks up some sense
of that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't chosen, but I got to spend 40 days in direct commune with him, you know, for his ministry. So
I think he's saying there too, though. Yeah, don't we have a right, but we choose not to?
In Paul's case, I think that's right.
Yeah. Because
you could.
It's interesting. He was saying, if you really want to be sold out,
mm-hmm.
don't get married if you aren't.
Right.
You know.
Well. Put in another vernacular. It's tough to have two masters.
Yeah, right. I was just listening to a certain area, too, where he's talking about, you know, women praying with long hair and as a protection and all that. He goes through all of that, but then he goes, but
we don't have such a custom.
Yeah, we don't necessarily hold to these customs.
Yeah, that's not the custom here. So you just, well, it's custom then. Mm.
Yeah.
I know, it's interesting.
Well, he kind of like lays out the custom and says, yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like he's saying, this is probably the ideal situation, but we're not making it a law or we're not making it a sin if you don't do it.
It's not a requirement to the faith, yeah. Paul does say quite a few things that are suggestions to do better.
Yeah.
Or suggestions for an easier way to do, to be true.
There's a scripture, it's in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I think. It's maybe verse 3. It says that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every man. And of course, in the head of the woman is man. But in the head of Christ is God. It doesn't say that there's an equal ruling something there. You know what I mean? The head of Christ is God.
Yeah. Oh, is that only when he's this or that? No, it doesn't say it. It just says it.
Yeah.
Period.
And I like the revelation that we slowly began to get. And people being in a lot of the church environments, there's no way that they can get that revelation. Because they're constantly being taught church doctrine and church, whatever it is, which makes Christ, it, no matter what the case, it makes him a God-man.
And they think they're so reverent by making him God.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I can't remember exactly. It's been a long time since I read the story or the article, but
there was a Catholic priest that added some things in, I think it was in the King James, I'm not sure. And his logic was leaving what he did without question or without, you know what I mean? He says God is a Trinity. I mean, he's just 100% positively convinced that God is a Trinity. So what he did lined up with Scripture. Not knowing that what he did was convince a lot of other people that there was a Trinity.
Yeah.
I've read that Matthew 28:19 started out by saying, baptizing them in my name. It had nothing to do with the Son or with the Father and the Spirit.
You know, and I just read that, and it kind of gets backed up in Acts where Peter says, and he's been given the name above every other name, or every name.
In which case, what are you sticking on these Father and Holy Spirit in
it's
there?
It's like, no, God said, yeah, I gave him the name, and that's the name that everything gets done by.
Mm-hmm.
Not the three of us, by his name.
Yeah.
And Jesus made this statement. I don't know what he meant by that. He says, I come in my Father's name, you don't receive me. What does he mean by that? If he received his name by inheritance, and that's what it says, was Yeshua the right name that they should have for God, or what's that mean?
What if it's coming in the authority of my Father, and you're failing to recognize what's coming in the authority of the God you're
coming. I don't know.
Because in that day, that's the way all the, I mean, if sons, when they got to be a certain age, they took over the same authority as the Father, so if they went somewhere to trade, they would probably say, well, I'm coming in my Father's name, you know.
Jesus was operating under the authority of his Father.
Yeah.
And they weren't buying it. Because they didn't know the Father well enough to recognize what was the Father's.
For a long time, I always kept saying, well, what is the name? But then after a while, it was like, it's not a specific name. It's
a seal or whatever.
Yeah, coming in authority.
Yeah, right. You've got the...
That's what makes sense to me at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make it make sense in the natural, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, unless there's some reason to think that's wrong, and I don't think there is. It's I did believe that there in Matthew 28:19, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is, in the context of it, it's just wrong. In the context of it, he's focusing totally on himself, on Jesus, my authority. This is me, my authority. And then he sticks in this Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. it's you know, you're playing along, on the piano, and you hit a really wrong note. That's what that sounds like.
And the thing about it is, it just within weeks, you know, what is it? I mean, this is right at the end of Matthew, and it's in was it 40 days or?
Yeah.
it's within 40 days.
Uh-huh.
And the Holy Spirit falls, and Peter says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I mean, this whole thing, remember I said, like, there's something here that's, I get giving. I could not get the picture, and one day I started to see the blood of Jesus Christ was the only way for sin to be remitted. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And his was the only blood that could remit sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that, just about the time that Kurt and Eli were baptized, I started to really hear me. I said, oh, of course. That's why we get baptized in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even because of the name, but yet it is. You know, name that's above all of the names, and the name not even Jesus. We're not really sure. We think it's like Yeshua, but that would be Yeshua. Where is it that is mentioned that says if Jesus would have given him rest? Or if Joshua would have given him rest. It's one of those things where they can't, the name is interchangeable, or is questionable. I think it's in Hebrews. You might get a translation that says, if Joshua would have given him rest. In another scripture, one that might say, and if Jesus would have given him rest. It's in Hebrews, I think.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not all ringing a bell for me, Keith.
I've heard something like that.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that vein.
And the reason is because the names are so closely related.
Well, I think they all. Kind of their core is salvation. I'm going to read that little spot while you're looking in Acts. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Well, that kind of settled it, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. It's Romans 4:8. What is... You have the Bible with many translations?
Yeah, I got it. Romans 4:8, huh?
Yeah, no, Hebrews 4:8.
Oh, Hebrews 4:8.
And it's like, why does it say that?
Okay, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not.
Where? What translation?
Well, this is the NIV and also the King James.
No, in the King James it says if Jesus had given them rest.
Well, in the New King James it's Joshua.
And yeah, I got the New King James. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I don't know for sure, but I heard that the names are so intertwined,
yeah,
interchangeable, you know, easily changed or changeable.
In all eight of the translations that are here, including the New King James, it's Joshua. But so there must be that they figured those translators in the time of King James made a mistake.
Well, the Dewey Rames Bible says if Jesus, and
which one?
The Dewey Rames.
Is that? I think that's a Catholic Bible.
I don't know if it is or not. I'm just telling you the translation listed here. And the Aramaic Bible in plain English, for if Jeshua, son of Nun.
Which is Joshua.
Yeah.
Son of Nun.
And that's Jesus.
No.
No, I think if he's the son of Nun, that would be Joshua.
But Yeshua is how they say
the
name. There's a, we get Jesus translated from Yeshua, which was Jesus in the Greek, I think.
Yeah, but I think there were other people at the time of Jesus that had the name Jesus, didn't they?
I think that's right.
And see, it doesn't, it's talking about the rest that didn't happen before.
Yeah,
so you can't really put Jesus there.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's before Jesus.
If Jesus had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on.
Is, I don't know who they're talking about, but it's like, why is that name? Why is it interchangeable here?
Yeah, well, it's certainly close enough, though, that the King James translators goofed it up.
Well, that's what I mean. It is hard to make that translation.
Uh-huh.
Well, it does derive all the way through the line like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a couple places in the prophets where,
and when you see all the way through the Old Testament, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yeshua, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They get so closely related that it's hard to tell. And that's why I wondered if, you know, Jesus says, I come in my Father's name.
I should look, because in mine it says a lot of them. It says God is, should I have that turned off?
Corky, are you finding any kind of commentary on that Hebrews 4:8, or maybe you weren't looking for it?
No, I was. All of them, except for the two, mention Joshua.
And is there anything said as to how there, why there might be confusion on that point?
Well, reading this, what come to mind was when Joshua was going around the city seven times, if he'd stopped and rested, he wouldn't have won the war. He would have probably been killed.
Well, maybe so.
You know, sure. That's what came to my mind after I read it. I mean,
after
I,
they're in Jericho, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, this is, Joshua was in the Old Testament.
Sure. And there, it would have been an occasion for works at that point. Yep.
Here's a heading in the book of Hosea. This is before it starts. The names Hosea, Joshua, and Jesus are all derived from the same Hebrew root word. The word Hoshea means salvation, but Joshua and Jesus include an additional idea. Yahweh is salvation. As God's messenger, Hosea offers the possibility of salvation if only the nation will turn back to God.
That's the commentary. Yeah,
the commentary.
Prior to the book of Jacob. Right. Which is here.
Yeah. You got to remember, too, in some languages, the J is also pronounced with an H.
Yeah, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's
Spanish.
Yeah, that makes it interesting. If Jesus would have given them rest.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It doesn't fit, really, because...
No. No, it doesn't fit, but... Okay.
Anything more on that that helps, Corky?
No. No, it's
maybe Ken kind of got whatever there was to get about that.
Yeah, what I have here doesn't have a lot of commentary, but I was sort of reading through what it had. Context, it says, the Sabbath rest. God again designated a certain day as today when a long time later he spoke through David, as was just stated, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day.
Mm-hmm.
There remains on the Sabbath rest for the people of God.
Well, I think maybe Glenn made a pretty good point.
Yes.
That it was what Joshua was doing was, it was work. You know, not an occasion for rest, that was work.
And they were given very specific instructions.
Uh-huh.
Do it for 7 days. It didn't say do it for six and then rest the Sabbath. And
right.
Yeah, and did they, those days, did they continue marching all through the night too?
Yep.
You know, that would be, by the end of the seventh day, I think we'd be wore out.
let's see, they went around the city once, each for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, I think they went around seven times. I think, isn't that
the way it went?
Yeah. And the walls came tumbling down.
that's just, you know, sometimes that just gets told as a story. And Stan, you got to stop and think about that. Come on. They just tumbled down, you know.
Right.
That's definitely miracle stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's mini earthquake, huh?
Yeah,
all that time?
Yeah.
Right.
That would be that.
Peter's in jail. He's sound asleep and he's between two guards.
Right.
Chained. And he's chained. And
yeah, he was chained. Yeah, he was chained to him.
And all of a sudden the angel releases his chains and says, wake up, Peter.
There were some busy angels there early on in the book of Acts.
But it's like they just, the gate, the big heavy gate opened by itself. And
yeah, right.
You know, what kind of power is it that's associated with God? Yeah, I mean,
the power to do his will.
A being that can speak the word and create a universe.
Yeah.
by faith we understand. That doesn't even make sense. By faith we understand, or through faith we understand, that the heavens were created by the word of God. It takes something to do something. In our dimension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course the world is going to reject it. Of course they will.
We got all we can do to
except ourselves,
except
sure.
Ourselves, yeah.
Right.
Which a lot of people don't in confessed churches.
Yeah, right.
Confessed
Christians. Yeah, in actuality, they say, oh yeah, we believe the Bible. Well, you watch their behavior.
Until somebody wants to make us look like a fool for believing it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I better not exclude myself too much from that.
Or like Simon used to always say,
yeah.
And of course he's from way down in Opeakanoke, you know. And but they had a different way of saying a lot of things. He says, they believe the Bible from kibber to kibber. you know, just you ever hear that?
I think I have.
Yeah.
maybe it was you saying it once before right. quite a while ago.
Maybe.
From giver to giver. And I don't even know why I'm saying it right, but it wasn't a cover to cover.
Yeah, God always said three words. Let there be. Whatever he mentioned was.
Yeah.
You know?
All it took.
Yeah.
Let there be.
Well, I hate to be the one to give somebody age away. But guess who's going to be 62 Saturday?
You got it.
62 years old.
He's 63.
You?
Yeah, I'll be 63 when the Santa comes around.
If you were 59.
59?
41.
Okay. On Saturday, though, huh?
I don't know. Does that make him 62 or 63?
63.
I don't know.
He's
63. 41 brings it to 2000.
What if he was born in 59?
Yeah, it's 62. He's going to be 62.
He'd be 62.
I don't think Chuck's buying that. I think he's he's going with 63, but I think you're wrong, Chuck, but you're entitled to your own opinion.
We're wondering about your
You're entitled to your own numbers.
What year were you born? What year were you born?
59.
You were born in 59, and this is 21. Nine to 11 is only 2, so I'm guessing 62.
But you can be as old as you want. It's your birthday.
You're right.
The man is using Britain math, that's all.
Britain math.
Maybe you like that number better.
Right.
He said he was 62 today. He got a year.
Well, he's been living in a house where a guy was 85 years old when the guy was really only 84 a day.
That's right. So he picked up some bad habits.
I think he's just following the example that's been led for him. So you got to wait till the day after tomorrow before you're 63.
I think
tomorrow you're 62, and then the day after that.
If I have to pick sides, I'm going with Chuck. I'm saying he's going to be 63.
Oh, you always try to butter up.
You always butter up. On that note, I would love you all.
Whatever.